Moses was coming to the end of his life. Moses, the literary character in the story told in the book of Deuteronomy, not Moses, the person who may or may not have lived. If we read Deuteronomy thinking that we're reading a first-person story from Moses, we come up against any number of logistical and historical tangles, none the least of which is that Moses dies before the book ends. No. Today, we are talking about Moses, the literary character, who is coming to the end of his life. He is with the people of God, the generation of Israelites who have known only wandering, known only life as a people without a land to call home, gathered on the banks of the Jordan River. And his time with them is about to come to an end. Moses is about to die, but before he does, he leaves his people with a song. We're coming to the end of the sermon series we've been in this fall. We, as a team of pastors and preachers, have been trying to help meet the moment. We've been scouring scripture to identify the truths, the skills, the spiritual practices that can help us as a people persevere and endure in these times. These times when it seems like evil has the upper hand, like power is a weapon to be wielded against the meek and not a resource to be shared. We've offered up the wisdom we could find. John has preached on the good news of the fear of God. Ashley has given us the gift of discipline that hardens into deed. Kat has reminded us that we must mark our time. And Justin has spoken to the power of radical vulnerability, held in and empowered by community. Today, I offer you the gift of song. Songs that sing of the faithfulness of God. Songs that sing of the impenetrable bond between God and their people. Songs that remind us who we are and whose we are. For times when we too might feel like a people without a land or a safe home. Before he dies, Moses gives his people a song. Not a chart topper in the mode of Taylor Swift, nor a dance number like Martin Gates' Rich Man's Frug, but a song more like an anthem or a ballad, a song that tells a story for a people. More like the songs of Bob Dylan or Sam Cooke or Joni Mitchell, Moses sings a song to his people that tells the truth. The truth of who God is, the truth of who they are, and the truth of the enduring love between them. Deuteronomy, as a book, has a bit of an unfair reputation for being boring. Many of its parts are duplicated in Numbers. Many stories are retold from Exodus. Even its Greek name, Deuteronomy, sets it up to be passed over. Deuteronomy is a mistranslation that means repetition of the law. Its Hebrew name, Devarim, means words, more rightly identifying that these are the words that Moses spoke, the distillation and summation of what it is to be God's people together over time. Deuteronomy is full of gems. It was not because you were more numerous than any other people that the Lord set his heart on you. It was because the Lord loved you. That's Deuteronomy, as is the original command to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. This book is full of this kind of wisdom because it was designed to hold what a people might need to follow God and remain in relationship with her. The book tells the story of a migrant people, almost at the end of their journey. A liberated people who have almost, but not yet, made it to a safe home. Moses, who has led them there, cannot cross the Jordan River with them, and so he distills his knowledge even more. He sings what he knows to be true. Moses' song tells the story of God and their people like this. God is faithful, enduring like a rock. Their work is perfect and just. God takes care of her people, patriarchs like Jacob and the whole people of Israel, led through the desert and sustained with manna and with quail. The people, however, once fed, tend to forget their God. Once they have eaten their fill from the hand of God, their memories tend to grow short. They tend to make sacrifices to other gods, to remember golden calves and forget their liberator. God grows jealous for their people, as he tells us he will in the very first commandment. God is a jealous God who requires that we have no other gods but them. God hides her face from her people, and their doom comes swiftly. Worshiping other gods leads nowhere but to ruin. And yet God is still faithful. God's love is still love. As the people of God cry out, God has compassion for his people. God makes alive and heals as the people turn again to them. Let the people and the heavens praise God, who endures from age to age. This is the song Moses sings, the story of God and their people. God's loving faithfulness, our unfaithfulness, and God's loving faithfulness nonetheless. Moses tells the people to take the song to heart, to give it as a command to their children, for it is no trifling matter, but rather their very lives. It's our very lives, too. There are deep resonances between our current state and that of the people to whom Moses sang. Being a person who follows Jesus in this land and in this time can feel like being a stranger in a strange land, or a sojourner without a home. Christian nationalism seems to have taken up all of the Christian portion of the religious airspace, preaching a God who even Baal and Moloch might balk at, whose vision of good news leads to power for the few and harm for the many. This atonal tune sings of a God whose love is conditional, of a people who must be only one way, and of a relationship between them predicated on a God who looks at the fullness and diversity of humanity with disdain and indifference instead of faithful love. Where is our God in that story? Hard to find. Where are God's people in that story? Crushed under the knuckles of white supremacy, homophobia, sexism, and racism. What is the relationship between that God and their people? Nothing but death dealt to many for the sake of power for the few. How do God's people endure in such a cacophony of dehumanization? How do we continue as a people unsettled in and displaced from home? We may make a start, like the Israelites in Egypt, in the wilderness, and later in Canaan, by turning away from letting a nation or a lesser God tell us who we are. And then we must sing a better song. Sing a song of a faithful and loving God who has compassion on their people when they cry out. A God who makes alive and heals, who delivers their people when all seems lost. Sing a song we learn from our elders and teach to our children. Sing a song of the truth of a God who is with their people, when their people are fed and when their people do not have a place to call home. We can sing Moses' song. We sang part of it as a hymn before this sermon. But we need not sing only Moses' song. Every week, Mitchell and the choir give us more truth to sing, more songs that remind us who we are and whose we are. Strongs that strengthen us to sustain in these times. Our anthem today is one such song for me. Its verses remind me that I follow a liberating God, one who longs to see all the jails empty and all bellies filled, one who longs for age, race, and gender to no longer separate their people, one who would have a pulpit, press, and politics be freed from greed and hate. The song reminds me that until that future comes, God has work for us to do together. It's a song I sang with our youth at Synod. For who we are and whose we are is no trifling matter, but rather our very lives. The songs we sing remind us of the truth, of a faithful and loving God, and a people who will not be parted from her. We persevere and sustain when our voices rise together in harmony, singing of who we are and whose we are in a world that would have us sing an atonal lie. May God grant us breath to sing such songs of love and faithfulness, for these truths are no trifling matter, but rather our very lives. Amen.